contain myself. There is this power all over me. It is absolutely phenomenal. He says, have you got a word? And I was shaking my head. I couldn't even speak in English. So I went like this. I didn't realize it. I had just exercised the gift of tongues for a public meeting. Someone interpreted it. The river was up to my knees. I thought that was pretty neat. Hey, I'm a prophet now. I mean, I can speak in tongues. I can give a prophetic word. And I enjoyed that. I enjoyed going to the great charismatic meetings that we had in our nation where men like Ray Mosholder came and prayed for people who'd had TB, had no eyebrows, had no eyelashes, watched before my very eyes as eyebrows grew back, eyelashes grew back, saw people get out of wheelchairs, saw all the miracles. I thought, this is pretty good. I didn't realize it was simply knee deep. I didn't know there was a lot more to it than that. And we sort of grew up. A few years later, we suddenly heard about the school of the prophets. And these guys came to our nation. And they started to teach some incredible revelation. And the water was getting deeper. And we were having great meetings. And then in 1993, in a youth camp, this guy on the Friday night, there was about 120 young people. He said to me, there's a move of God happening. And I thought, so what? And I'd seen lots of moves of God. I'd heard the prophecies. I'd seen the miracles. I'd seen Pat's uncle had great visions and had Jesus appear to him in his orchard and saw angelic stuff. I mean, that was the world I lived in. Could there be any more? And this guy at the Friday night at the beginning of the youth camp said to all of these young people, stand up. And then he said this. He said, receive the Holy Ghost. And I thought, what a strange fellow he is. He just blew into the microphone. Now, you've got to understand something. I had traveled all around our nation. I had taught on how to lead praise and worship. I taught how to move in the Holy Ghost. I taught about the principles of the anointing. So I thought I knew it all. He stands up and he says, receive the Holy Ghost. Nothing happened. So I thought, well, he must know what he's doing because I certainly didn't know what he was doing. And all of a sudden, some of the young people started to sway. Whack! On the ground they went. It didn't just one or two fall over. They fell on top of one another, four bodies high. And I'm thinking, we've killed some people. Right? And the bottom one gets up, and he's like this. He's totally drunk with the Holy Ghost. I'm watching this stuff, and I'm thinking, I don't know about this. This is interesting. He says, stand up again. He lines them up, four or five in a row. He says, receive the Holy Ghost. Bang! Every one of them fall over under the power of God, shaking violently, drunk in the Holy Ghost, laughing, screaming. I mean, everything was happening, and I'm thinking to myself, now, I'm a Holy Ghost minister. I don't understand this. I don't even know if I like it too much. But it's interesting. I was thinking about it Friday night, Saturday morning. He didn't preach, of course, because they were all drunk with the Holy Ghost. I mean, you can't preach a lot when everybody's crawling all over the place, laughing hysterically, weeping in corners, and also you can't do a lot of preaching in an environment like that, you know. And Saturday morning arrived, and I thought, well, we'll get a message out of him now. He says, stand up. Push all the chairs back, line up in your rows, lift your hands to Jesus, receive the Holy Ghost, bang, over they went. The river was getting deeper. You understand? Around about midday, I had to make a decision. Either this was the devil, or it was the Holy Ghost. Now, for a Holy Ghost minister, that is a very difficult question to have to answer. Because if I said it wasn't the Holy Ghost and it was, I'm going to get more judgment than anybody. Okay? And I decided I liked the fruit. I thought to myself, good fruit, got to be good stuff. So I decided about midday, I think this is God. So by the time we got to Saturday night, more blowing into the microphone, still no message, young people drunk like you wouldn't believe. And of course, a few months later, in February 1994, Toronto happened, and of course it became known as the Toronto Blessing. And of course it hit us before Toronto was ever heard of. Had to make a decision. You see, I thought this was pretty good. And, of course, I began to be used by the Lord around our nation to release this all over the country. I tell you, we saw signs and wonders like you could not believe. All of a sudden, the power of God, I went into a little church in a place called Timaru in the South Island. And I was standing in front of the people ministering, had a word of knowledge. And they'd been in prayer and fasting for 40 days for my meetings. And I thought that was a bit brave to do that for my meetings, you know. And I stood up, and I think it was a Monday night, and I had a word of knowledge, and no one responded. And you know what it's like when someone doesn't respond to a word of knowledge? The faith level drops like that. And you wouldn't do this in America, but in New Zealand, people are pretty a bit thick-skinned. You understand what I mean by thick-skin? So I said to the congregation, I said, what's the matter with you lot? I said, no one responded to the word of knowledge, but it doesn't mean the person's not here. And I said, I know that they're here. I said, you need to repent. You've got a bad attitude. Hey? So I went home. I was sick and I was angry. I thought, you dopey lot. You've been praying for 40 days, believing God, fasting for a move of God. Suddenly something doesn't happen like you think it should happen, and your faith level drops. I thought, you're not going to have a move of God in that sort of environment. Some of you are thinking right now, I don't know if you like that guy from New Zealand. I'm okay. I really am. Got 5 kids, been married a long time, we've survived. So I came back the next night, and there was a different atmosphere. The Spirit of God was pregnant in the place. And I suppose it was about the first person I prayed for was lifted up off the floor and was smashed 4 or 5 rows, smacked on the ground. I prayed for the next person. The power of God got them. They're smashed over these forms and whacking at the back wall. People all over the place just being careered 20, 30, 40 feet across the roof. The place just went absolutely ballistic with the supernatural power. I'd never seen anything like it. Do you know, I flew down from Auckland for 5 months on a Tuesday. Did 4 nights meetings, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then came home again, did my church services, and then I went back and flew back down and did 4 nights again, and it got onto TV, it got into the newspapers. Timaru was called the miracle mecca of New Zealand, and we were flooded with water. The river was pretty high. Son of man, have you seen this? And I thought I knew what it was about. And suddenly I realized that I was about to make the same mistake we made in the 1970s, we made in the 1980s, we made in the 1990s, and I see it being made right now before my very eyes. We thought it was about us. We thought it was about us having good meetings. We thought it was about us getting filled with the Holy Ghost. We thought it was about us receiving the power of God. We thought all of those meetings with this incredible river running so wild in our nation was actually for us. Son of man, have you seen this? Because you see, the problem was I was looking at the great experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost that I'd had. And I was looking at the miracles and the signs and the wonders that friends of mine were having. I was looking at the ankle deep water. I could just experience the water. It was so good. It was so nice. It was so much fun. And the more that the Holy Ghost poured out upon us and the deeper the river got, the more glorious it was and the more miracles we were seeing and the more wonders that were happening. And we almost missed the point. Because the problem was this. that the river, the further the river got away from the temple, the deeper it got. Now that's a big problem to me. Because I thought the depth of the river was in the temple. It was in the Sunday morning service. It was in the Sunday night service. It was in the Wednesday night prayer meeting. That's where I thought it was meant to be. That's where the river was meant to be. And God was trying to show me that the depths of the river, the further I got out of the church, the deeper the river became. And so he got hold of his, so God got hold of the prophet. He says, listen, mate, you've missed the point. Now have a look at this. And then he gave him another view. And this was the view. He brought me verse 6, back to the bank of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, on the bank of the river, there were many trees on the one side and on the other. And he said to me, these waters go out toward the eastern region and toward the Arabah, and they go toward the sea, being made to flow into the sea, and the waters of the sea become fresh. And it will come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes will live, and there will be very many fish, for these waters go there, and the others become fresh. So everything live where the river goes. And it will come about that fishermen will stand beside it from Engedi to Eglaim, and there will be a place for the spreading of nets. Their fish will be according to their kinds, like the fish of the great sea, very many. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh, they'll be left for salt. And by the river on its banks, on one side, on the other side, will grow all kinds of trees for food. The leaves will not wither, their fruit will not fail. They will bear in every month, because their water flows from the sanctuary, and their fruit will be good for food, and their leaves for healing. I realized this river was for the community. And all of those meetings, all of that training on how to prophesy, how to move in healing, how to experience the realm of the Spirit, was actually not for Wednesday night. It was actually to train and equip us to go out there and do it in our community. But we thought it was for us. And that's why he said, son of man, have you seen this? Have you actually stood back and got your eyes off what you were experiencing to see what I wanted to experience through you? That was a problem. Because I liked church. I mean, my life is given on how to have a move of God in any environment. I do this message on three elements of a move of God. And my message starts like this: God is moving all the time. All the time God's moving. God never stopped moving. And I can teach you how to have a move of God. I know how to have a move of God here tonight through three elements: faith, gifting, and anointing. I know how they interrelate. I've taught thousands of pastors how to do it. But it's not for me. And it's not for you. And the Lord started to speak to me and make me aware of some things that were happening around the world. Ministries that the Lord was raising up. I heard of a man by the name of T.B. Joshua from Nigeria. Unprecedented miracles, hundreds upon hundreds of AIDS people, medically verified, getting healed. I watched the videos. Hundreds and hundreds of people getting pulled out of wheelchairs. I was in a meeting where he was in Sydney a few years ago. I watched him. There was a lineup of wheelchairs. He goes to the first person. He puts their arms around them. That person totally healed. Goes to the next person, puts their arms around them. Totally healed, walking. The next person, just that quick, bang, one after the other. I thought, this is pretty neat. I then heard of a woman called Patricia King from Extreme Prophetic. And I felt the Lord say, you need to hear what she's saying. Because she was talking about going out into the community and prophesying over non-Christians. She was talking about praying for the sick in the streets. And then to head all of this off, we had a conference at our nation with a man by the name of Bill Johnson from Redding, California. And he was the first man I'd sat under for probably a decade who was actually preaching revelation from the Word of God. I mean, everybody's good at repeating other messages, right? Everybody's good at looking at the internet and getting someone else's revelation and preaching that. But this man was opening up the Word of God, and revelation was flowing like you just wouldn't believe. And I'm sitting there thinking, awesome. But he was preaching one message: take the river out into the community. Pray for the sick in the hospitals. Pray for the sick in the shopping centers. Go down into the streets and find someone who's discouraged and prophesy to that person. And I'm thinking, I got to hear what God is saying here, because I don't want to make the mistake that we made. Son of man, have you seen this? Listen, get out of the river for a bit and have a look at what the river actually is meant to do. Have a look that the further you get away from the temple, the deeper the river is, and that's where the miracles, that's where the signs and wonders, that's where the fruit really is. We thought the fruit was in the temple, but the real fruit is actually out there in the community. I thought, I got to address this, because unfortunately for me, I happened to have a lot of responsibility with pastors. And there were pastors all through our nation, still do, who are building their churches on what I was teaching them, especially how to move in the Holy Ghost. And I thought, God will hold me accountable before the judgment seat of Christ if I don't shift the culture of the church in New Zealand. Because he will say to me, Brent, you had in your hand dozens upon dozens and dozens of churches that you had the possibility to shift and not make the mistake we made in the charismatic movement, that we made in the prophetic movement, that we made in the apostolic reformation. Man, I realized I got to shift something. And I began to talk to my church about, listen, pray for the sick at your workplace. Prophesy over your discouraged neighbor. Go to the mall. Go to the street. Find someone. We had 100, 200 young people just this last weekend. Part of what I do now is I don't have a youth conference like you would know, where we do all the loud music and have all the great preaching and that's it. Part of coming to my youth conference is that we will send you out for an afternoon, Sunday afternoon, out into the streets of Auckland City, and you will have what's called a treasure hunt. And this is what a treasure hunt is. They will get together and they will seek God together until the Lord shows them a face or a person or a condition or some situation like that in a mall or the streets. And then they will spend the afternoon walking the malls or walking the streets till they find that person. And then they will go up to that person and they will say, have you got a problem in your left ear that's giving you pain? And this person will say, yes, how did you know? God spoke to me. May I pray for you? Oh, yes. And healed one after the other, healed in the malls, healed in the streets, healed out there in the community. There are miracles happening, people, that are not happening in the church, but is happening out there. And God is looking for a people that will shift the river from having self-indulgent meetings into having meetings out there in the streets where the power of Jesus Christ is moving in mighty powerful ways. Now you can say to me, well, I'm a prophet for the church at Abbott Loop. And I will say, so what? I'm a prophet and I'm an apostle and I'm everything else you want me to be for my church, but also for my community. My closest friend, one of my closest friends, is the man who owns the Hindu, get it, Hindu Meditation Center in Auckland. He's a friend of mine. I go out in the boat nearly every week with him, fishing for real fish. I've asked him about his experiences in meditation. You thought you had good experiences? Oh, he'll tell you about the clouds that appeared in their meditation times. He'll talk to you about the angels that would come. Now, we would call it something different, but he called them angels. He will talk to you about the incredible supernatural experiences that they had while they were meditating in the Hindu environment. He's my mate. I love him. I'm building relationship with him. Or I could talk to you about the businessman. He's got a company in our nation. It's very, very well known. But I happened to talk to his wife. And I said to his wife, how is your husband? And she was too embarrassed to tell me. But to cut a long story short, it turned out, and he's not a Christian, that he was under litigation. There was a lawsuit. So I said, you're going to ask him if you would like me to come and pray with him. And I said, I have a capacity in the power of God to be able to shift businesses. And she was too embarrassed. And I said, and a friend was talking to her as well. And she said, no, you get Brent Douglas there to do this because he can walk into places and into businesses and he can change a business just with a prayer. I got a phone call that night and this man, Bill, said, I would like you to come. So he took me up to, so he went to his business. He's not a Christian and he was under great difficulty. And so I said, well, why don't I pray for you and pray for your business? You know, a few days later, I went to see him again. And the reason was because he started to talk about the problems of the atmosphere in the place. And I said, oh, I said, I'm in the business of changing atmospheres. I said, I got some friends who could come and cast the evil spirits that are all through the atmosphere in this place. I said, I can't do it. I've got to go to the States. I'll send some friends. So I'm now bringing three top flight businessmen from my church. I've already schooled them up. I've said to them, guys, we're going to see this guy come to the Lord. But for him to come to the Lord, he's got to be a friend. So we got to build a relationship with him. I walked in and with tears in his eyes, he said, it was amazing. He said, Monday after you'd prayed, he said, I had the best day of the month. He said, it was a Monday. We should not have had it. Their turnover was $50,000, which was a big turnover for his business for that Monday alone. And he says, all I know is someone up there did something because of your prayers. Hallelujah. I said to him, here are my friends. I said, this man's an expert in IT. This man's an expert in money matters and financing. And I said, this man is an expert in equity partnerships. And I said, we're going to be a friend to you. I'm expecting to go back in a month's time and my friends will have been with him. And I'm expecting his heart to be like butter because the river gets deeper the further it gets away from the temple. Do you understand what I'm saying? I am tired of self-indulgent church. Did you get that? I'm an expert at how to have great church meetings, but I'm tired of it. Because I am dead scared that if we don't get our people out there in the community and stop making the excuses, that we are going to do what happened in the charismatic movement and we'll be still standing here saying, God, give us a move of God, when right now we are at the beginning of what I believe to be a worldwide move of God. I am going for two nights down to Lakeland, Florida. Who's heard of it? Do you know, in that miracle, in that revival, see, I never went to Toronto. I didn't feel I needed to because John Arnott himself said the level of power in New Zealand was greater than what it was in Toronto. I went to Pensacola. You know Pensacola? Yeah. The moment I went to Pensacola, I knew what Pensacola was. It was Toronto, and I knew what Toronto was. It was Argentina. So, you know, it was just packaged differently. But I could feel it. It was obviously there. I only went there for a couple of nights. I didn't need to go any further. I knew what was there. We already had that. They just focused it through souls. And then I watched TV the other night, God TV. And I'm listening to the pastor. And he said, we trained a whole lot of people to go out in the streets and take this revival out in the streets. And then he gave story after story of miracle that had happened that day in the streets. people who'd been prophesied over, people who'd been prayed for and got healed. Hundreds took the revival of the night before and during the morning of that morning and took it out in the streets. And I thought, this is a revival I want to be a part of, because I don't want another self-indulgent revival that makes me feel good and I get a good word and I get a good anointing. I want a revival that propels the church into the river, and the river is deeper out there, 4,000 cubits, than it is in the temple, and we didn't realize it. And I'm stepping back and saying, yes, I'm having a look, Lord, Son of Man, have you seen this? I'm getting the point. On Saturday, in our church, a team went out and did walk, talk and pray. You don't need a university degree or a theological degree to do this, right? They just love the Holy Ghost. They just walk around the streets, finding somebody, finding that they've got a need. May I pray for you? Before they can say no, you pray for them, they get healed. Eh? We changed our service time because of the youth conference, so I did my church service 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon. And like I do every service, I have an altar call for salvation every service after the praise and worship. And praise and worship happened. Had an altar call for salvation. And this lady walked up the front with her daughter. And it was her first time giving her life to Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And somebody said this to me. She was spoken to at the walk, talk and pray yesterday. And now she's in church today. And she's up on the altar call, giving her life to Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Now that is the river. Now why am I giving this message to Abbott Loop, however you say it, Community Church? I'll tell you why. If ever, on the face of this earth, is a church qualified and equipped to take the river out into the community, it's this church. I don't know any other church that I personally know more qualified, more equipped, more empowered than this church to do this. You've got prophets, and you're brave enough to call them prophets. You've got apostles, and you're brave enough to call them apostles. And so we could go on. I think I've already met about 35 prophets already as I've been here. Well, I've met a couple. And I think this is awesome. This is a church that is impregnated with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if you but saw what you have without even having to try, you would realize that you are already full of this incredible spirit capacity that would enable you to go out into Anchorage, Alaska, into the Walmarts and the Best Buys and the whatever it is just down the road here that I wanted to take my wife to, the shopping mall, whatever, and find a person in need. And pray for them. And you might think, but they'll reject us. Well, so what? Be rejected, you ugly thing. It's called life. Hey? Well, what if I get it wrong? Well, what if you do get it wrong? So what? Doesn't matter. Because the reality is, the person you're praying for is so lonely and so desperate. Even if you get it wrong, they'll still cry because you love them. And because you were showing enough concern to reach out to them. We get all concerned about whether the word of knowledge is right or the prophecy is right or we pray for the right thing and pray for it the wrong way. Look, go make mistakes for goodness sake. Stop being so religious. What does it matter if the prophecy is wrong? You're touching a heart that is broken and is in desperate need for the love of God. You might get it right. I was on a plane
from Singapore. I was in business class. Don't normally do business class. I'm not like you rich Americans. I have to normally go sort of cattle class, right? But I did an upgrade, and I got my upgrade. And I'm sitting by this businessman. And he's got a coffee in one hand and a port in the other. So he's drinking his port and he's drinking his coffee. And he's doing this hour after hour. And he's talking to me. And, of course, he asked me what I did. And I said, well, I'm a motivational speaker. You know? My answer when someone asks what I do is one of two things. I'm either a motivational speaker or I'm an exorcist, because I cast demons out. You know, it's amazing. If you say to a non-Christian, I'm an exorcist, you know how they respond every single time? This is how they respond. No. I've got a friend. And this friend has this thing that comes to them. So I tell non-Christians all the time I cast demons out. It's a terrific door opener. But that's a whole other story. About 3 hours into the flight, he says to me, I had this strange thing happen to me. He said, I have this presence sometimes comes into my hotel room. It's my grandmother who died. I said, oh, okay. I said, how does it make you feel? He said, terrified. So I just ignored it for a while, but he was getting very loud, and the other business passengers were getting very upset because he'd had a few ports by this stage and a few coffees, so he's a pretty happy man and pretty loud. And so I said, look, I need to go to sleep. I just had to quieten him down. And as I went to sleep, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and this is what the Holy Spirit said. He said, ask me, the Holy Spirit, what was the source of that presence that comes into his hotel room? And so I said, Lord, what was the cause of that evil spirit that visits him in the hotel room? And the Lord spoke to me as clear as day. But he was 7 years of age. He nearly drowned. So I went to sleep. And when I woke up about an hour later, I said to him, look, before you talk, I want to ask you a question. Now, this is why I'm telling you the story. See, if you get religious on this thing, you'll ruin it every time. See, some of you would have said, listen, I need to tell you something. God has spoken to me. And God said this to me. That's a dumb way of doing it, you know. So I said this to him. I said, I've got a question to ask you. What happened to you when you were around 7 years of age?
What do you mean?
Well, 7 years of age. Did something happen to you that shocked you?
What are you talking about?
Well, did anything happen with water?
What do you mean?
Well, did you nearly drown? Because I could tell that I was getting close to the mark, you know. And I said, did you nearly drown when you were 7 years of age? He says, you won't believe it. He said, I was at the front of a boat in the Littleton Harbour in New Zealand. He said, at 7 years of age, he said, I fell out of the boat. And he said, I fell down and into the water. And he said, I started to drown. And my brother who was in the boat didn't know that this had happened. And it was only at the last minute that he dived in and he got me. And I said to him, I want to tell you something. I said, before I went to sleep, the Lord, God spoke to me. And God said that when you were 7 years of age, you nearly drowned. And you see, that presence that comes into your hotel room is actually an evil spirit that came to you from that point on and now visits you regularly when you're alone in the hotel. And I said, can I pray for you? Now, before he could say no, because that would be a stupid thing to let him say no, I reached my hand across and I said, Lord Jesus, I pray right now that you would cause that evil spirit to go from him in the name of Jesus. Now, here was this man. He's in the plane beside me. And he's saying, now this guy, he was a multinational businessman, right? He has sat in the offices of the best in the world. And he says to me, he said, I've never had anything like this in all my life. He said, this is the weirdest experience, he said, I've ever had. Do you work for the CIA? I said, yeah. God's CIA. I said, God speaks to me. So that's what I do. God speaks to me about people. And God has spoken to me about you because he loves you. Now, I'd like to tell you that he gave his life to Christ and all the rest of it. And I don't know what's happened to that man. But I know this, for half an hour at business class in that plane from Singapore to Auckland, That man was in a total stunned state of shock. Not because he got drowned, but because God spoke to him. You know what? You have greater capacity in this church to do that sort of thing than I have. Because that's your heritage.
Yeah.
I was talking to the leaders and the pastors today at lunch. And I said to them, think about the values. Think about the heritage. And the heritage and the values are the gifts of the Holy Ghost. It's the fivefold ministry. It's the realm of the Spirit. And right before this church, more than probably any other church I've ever stood before, is an opportunity for you to step into a worldwide move of God that is happening for those that would hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches. You could step into that and you could have it happen. Listen, I was listening to the prophecy tonight, and please don't take this the wrong way. Our brother prophesied, he said, take the sword in your hand and run. And of course, when I hear a prophecy like that, I think to myself, how? How do you do that? Can we put some practice on that? I wanted to stand and say, well, you prophesied it. Now tell me how. What does that mean to put the sword in your hand and to go and run? I'll tell you what it means. It means take the power, take the anointing, take the word, take the revelation, get out there and run out into Anchorage, Alaska, and into other places in Alaska and in the world, and bring what God's given you. Get out where the river is deep and get souls saved through the supernatural power of God. These signs shall follow them that believe. You think, well, it's for the other fella. That's for you. For your neighbour, for your workmate, for your friend. It's for you to build a relationship with the number one Hindu or whatever it is. It's for you to get out of church and find people that don't know Christ and bring the love of God to them. It's for you to take time to build relationship with them just like I'm doing. And then to take the opportunity to sit like I did with a businessman and in one prayer forever changed the culture of his life. Let me finish with this. Has this been all right?
Yeah.
You know, the disciples' prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It was never meant to be a prayer to pray. You know that, eh? He said, pray this way. He didn't say, pray this prayer. Pray this way. It's the disciples' prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. How on earth do you bring the kingdom? How do you get thy kingdom to come? This is how. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How do you do that? How do you get the will of God on earth that is in heaven? Do you know how you do it? We take what's in heaven and we bring it to people on this earth. And we bring the kingdom. Do you know what the kingdom is? It's the authority and the rule of Christ. So when a businessman has got demons in his workplace, I cast them out. When a businessman is discouraged, I bring a word of hope and prophetic utterance to him. I bring the kingdom into his workplace. His workplace will never be the same again because I have brought what is in heaven into earth, into his area of earth, into his area of influence, and I'm now his friend because I've done something that nobody else on the face of the earth other than a born again, Holy Ghost baptized, empowered believer can do, which is bring the kingdom roll into his workplace. Only I can do that, and you can do that, because you have the Holy Ghost, you have the baptism of the Spirit, you have the gift of tongues, you've got the supernatural power of God. Man, Abbot Luke has got everything. It's got the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Man, you've got the extravagance of God. How do you take the sword and how do you run? How do you fulfill the prophecy? See, if it was me, I wouldn't allow another prophecy to be spoken in this place till the people went and did it. If I was here, I'd be saying, don't prophesy again. You got the word of the Lord. Next prophecy, after people started doing it. Next prophecy, after people start doing it. Take the sword. You can have other prophecies that repeat that one just to keep reminding us. That's fine. Don't give us any other words. You've got the word. Do you like that? I like that. I like that. Because otherwise we begin to be self-indulgent in the river. When in reality, there is a move of God happening around the world that is phenomenal. But only those who have eyes to see and ears to hear are really understanding it. I'm going to let you into a secret, and then we'll just see what the Holy Ghost wants to do. But I want to let you into a secret. And I say this to you from no experience except what a friend of mine said. He said at Lakewood, Florida, he said they need to get rid of the first 300 people up the front. They're the conference junkies of America. I knew that. I only needed to listen to one program to know that there were conference junkies going there. They just want another fix. I don't want another fix. Listen, I tell you, if I was to spend 1 hour and to describe the meetings that I've had in the Holy Ghost, some of you would say, I have dreamed of that. I live that stuff because I'm a Holy Ghost minister. So that is second nature to me. I don't want another conference junkie experience, but I want an impartation that I can then lay hands on my people and they'll go out in the community and they'll lay their hands on people and the Holy Ghost will move and people will get out of wheelchairs. People who are discouraged and are wanting to commit suicide will get healed from it. People who are depressed will get depression broken in their lives. I want my people to be full of such supernatural power that you cannot hold them back from what the Holy Ghost is going to do. What a church this is. And what an opportunity God has given to you. Because you've got it all. You really have. Prophets. Evangelists. Phenomenal. But the depth of the river happens to be 4,000 cubits away from Abbott Loop Community Church Building. Do you like that? I like that. Well, let's stand. Wonderful Jesus. Well, let me get up here so I can see you. I want you to do something. Everybody ministers different in the Holy Ghost, and I don't know what the Lord wants to do yet, but there'll be something He wants to do as a result of what I've shared tonight. I want you just to close your eyes and maybe just lift your hands to the Lord for a moment. When we lift our hands to the Lord, it's a sign of surrender and of openness. I want you to pray this, Holy Spirit. Just pray this, Holy Spirit. Let's do it again, Holy Spirit. I'm open to you right now to take me out into the community and to use me. Holy Ghost, I right now look at my friends, at my family that don't know you, and I make a choice to take what you've given to me and believe for opportunities to touch people with your love. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's begin just to speak in tongues for a few moments. I want to do something right now. And I met up with some people for lunch today. And if you'd like just for me to pray for you, and I'm not going to prophesy over you because you've got the best prophets in the world here. So you don't need me to prophesy, but I do believe you can have an impartation. You know, I was prayed for by T.D. Jakes. I was the only person in New Zealand prayed for by T.D. Jakes about 2 years ago. Transformed my life. When I heard of an opportunity to be prayed for by Pastor Dick, or to meet Pastor Dick Benjamin, I took it and I said, you've got to pray for me. Because I know now I can be the second Dick Benjamin. Because he's prayed, he put his hands on me. I believe in the power of impartation like you wouldn't believe. I'm just the product of people that have laid their hands on me. That's all. And if you're one of those guys or ladies that were there this afternoon for a start, I'd love to pray for you if you just come up here. And I'd love to pray for you. Those that were there, and just ask the Lord to touch you. Wonderful, Jesus.